chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for tuning in, and I'm glad to be alive and kicking, even though I'm still a little bit sick. I don't know what the hell's going on. I've never had a cold this long before in my life, but I'm feeling better now and just getting over it, whatever. So that's good news. So we're back at it. We're going to be here 5 days a week here, Monday through Friday on UCY.TV. You could also catch us live at theantimedia.org/radio. And if you miss our show live, you can go and listen to it on YouTube, UCY TV's YouTube channel. Look us up, listen to all of our shows, or don't, either way. It is kind of cool to hear all of our shows because we talk about topics and, you know, we make predictions and, you know, we're talking about stuff that carries on to the next week, the elections, you know, foreign policy, all the crap that goes on, you name it. We're going to be talking about a bunch of that stuff tonight with my awesome panel. Tonight we've got our special co-host, Jake Anderson, on the line. What's up, Jake? Jake's asleep at the wheel over there.
I was swallowing something.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully it wasn't something good.
Yeah, it was a shrimp. No, I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. Not too bad. Like I said, I got this cold that I've just been having trouble kicking, but I think I'm finally over it. I pass it over to my girlfriend. So, like, once she caught it, it's like, okay, peace. I'm leaving you and taking her over. So,
that's weird. How did you pass it on to her?
I have no clue, man. I have no clue. anyway, we got a bunch of stuff to cover, all kinds of things happening over the weekend. Hey, we started a new war, too. That's pretty awesome, I guess. When it comes to the neocons and their money making machine, it's pretty good news for them. Bad news for the rest of us, you got to pay for it, and all the poor people that are going to be dying because of it. We're also joined on the line by our other special co-host, Claire Bernish. What's up, Claire?
Not much. What's up?
Hanging in there. I don't know what's up with DB, though. I don't know if he's going to call in tonight. I haven't heard from him today, so hopefully he's just running late. We'll see. But so many things to cover. I'm just going to be over at theantimedia.org on the homepage. Hopefully everyone listening goes and looks at the homepage because our top story right now is how Facebook has been censoring certain types of news stories. So we're going to talk about that first because we've all got some skin in the game when it comes to that. So one thing I want to say real quick, everyone listening tonight, make sure you go to our website if you like the stuff we cover. And I know there's a bunch of crap that we post that you may not agree with. And hell, we post stuff that I don't agree with. There's stuff on there that people on the line don't agree with. But we, you know, try to have a broad sense, a broad view. We're not trying to be overly ideological and just give you like one viewpoint. So there's stuff on there that may upset you or offend you. But I'm sure if you're listening tonight, there's a lot of stuff that we've posted that you resonate with or that you're glad that you found out because of us. So that being said, Facebook is not showing all the posts that we make and all of our content. So if you want to see all the stuff that we're doing, make sure you visit our website, theantimedia.org, and check it out at least like once or twice a day, maybe like once in the morning and then once in the evening so that you can see all the stuff that we're covering. Subscribe to our RSS feed, whatever, however you guys do it, because Facebook is increasingly becoming a gatekeeper. I mean, before it was like mainstream media and it was impossible to get information out there because it was like, who had the money to start their own TV channel or their own radio station? Nobody did. So the only viewpoints you saw were one of six huge corporations that control the media. Now, thanks to social media, it's like all these independent news websites sprang up and everybody's, you know, it's all this independent media and it's like great. And now Facebook is like crushing down on these outlets. I mean, literally a bunch of my friends that run websites and Facebook pages have come to me because I've become one of these default people that knows all about Facebook apparently. And they're like, man, have you noticed that there's like something going on with Facebook? Like our stuff isn't getting that much reach. I'm like, yeah, dude. I mean, you know, this is a reality that we're gonna have to deal with. Now we're working on ways around it. And of course there's always ways to deal with the algorithms and stuff. Anyway, that being said, the top story over on the anti-media right now is about how there's like some Facebook whistleblowers now stepping forward to talk about some of the practices that are going on over there at Facebook and how they censor certain types of news stories. Did you guys get a chance to check this out yet, Claire and Jake?
Yeah, I did. I saw that it's mostly conservative news. That's what I took from it.
Part of it, definitely. they censored some stuff about the IRS, and then obviously Facebook is censoring a lot of stories that are critical of themselves, you know, so they're not, if there's a story out there about something bad that Facebook has done, they're not showing anyone that story either.
But this story was trending in the Facebook trend section today.
It did. Yeah. I think they had to do it because they're like, oh crap, they caught us.
Yeah.
But one major thing that we take from this about the trending section on Facebook is that it's not actual trending news sometimes. Sometimes it's just stuff that is – it's editorial stuff actually. They pick and choose what gets to be on trending, and then they even choose stuff that's not even trending and put it in the trending thing in hopes of making a trend. And one thing that I pulled from this report that's pretty interesting was Syria. So at certain times they choose when and when not to make Syria trend. And so that's very interesting, and that could also have something to do with them coordinating with U.S. foreign policy. I see here that they also censored trending information about Rand Paul, the Drudge Report. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of the stuff is stuff that it's like, you know what, if they're censoring Drudge Report, you know, on one hand, it's like, well, good, because Drudge Report is like a fear-mongering, anti-immigrant, minority like hate machine, you know. It's like the most popular website for conservatives, but I mean it drives a very anti-immigrant, pro-Trump narrative. But on the other hand, it's like, dude, we don't want to censor stuff even if we don't agree with it. That's not, you know, it's not right. I want to see the crap that Drudge Report is posting, and I have the discretion to decide, you know, okay, this is anti-immigrant fear-mongering. You know, I want to see it still. You know what I mean? And so, you know, this is really, really interesting. It shows that Facebook definitely manipulates the news. Now, the other thing that I found here is that they also choose to not allow like independent or small alternative websites to set trends on the trending section.
That's what I was going to bring up, actually, because that's actually, I think, the worst part about this whole report. Because even if something is trending naturally in their algorithms, like Facebook will not really allow the people who are curating the news trending section to even post those stories as trending until a major outlet also picks it up, which, you know, a lot of times independent media actually picks up some of the really valid and vital stories and alternative perspectives that the mainstream media just simply isn't going to do. So that's actually very telling.
Yeah, so I have a quote here from Gizmodo, which is where these whistleblowers from Facebook chose to leak their information. And I quote, stories covered by conservative outlets like Breitbart, Washington Examiner, and Newsmax, these are all kind of smaller independent conservative news outlets. And keep in mind, I don't agree with any of them. Breitbart is like completely in the pocket of Trump. Washington Examiner is a neoconservative rag, and Newsmax is just Newsmax. I mean, I'm sure you've all heard of Newsmax. These outlets posted content that was popular enough to make a trend, but Facebook chose not to display that trend unless it was covered also by New York Times, the BBC, or CNN, or similar news sites, and they would link to them as the primary source, and they would bury any trends from these other websites. And I've noticed it myself. We've actually created trends on Facebook before. We've done it where we've made a concerted effort to make stuff trend, and then we're the ones that create the trend. Then you go and click on the trending thing, and most of the time it's like other websites, like big websites, and it's not even your stuff. It's like we did all the work, and then all these guys, New York Times, BBC, CNN, they benefit from it without having to do any of the work. So that is a huge problem. So definitely this report shows that they're censoring independent news. And like I said, I don't agree with most of the stuff these guys post, but that's not the point. The point is that, you know, they shouldn't – Facebook is supposed to be a semi-neutral, you know, utility for people to use on the internet where they can use it as like a conductor of information. But now we're starting to realize, and I know everyone in alternative media has been saying it forever. I mean, some stuff gets suppressed, some stuff doesn't. You know, they allow some things to trend, they allow some things to go viral, they don't allow other things to go viral. I mean, I've been saying it so often. They try to put the damper on anything that goes viral and stuff, if it's like anti-establishment and things. So, you know, Facebook is the next gatekeeper. We're going to have to deal with it until someone brilliant comes up with a new social media platform that can actually legitimately compete with Facebook without selling out to it. You know, Instagram was like one of the up-and-coming platforms, and Facebook bought it, you know, and Snapchat was moving up, and now Snapchat is like kind of, I don't know who owns Snapchat or what, but they've definitely sold out to the mainstream. If you go over on the news thing on Snapchat, you'll see they've chosen like 12 or 15 mainstream news websites to only they're allowed to have like a news platform on Snapchat. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on there, you know. And the thing about internet is that, you know, the internet is so awesome because it allows for the liberation of information. It allows regular people to find stuff out and make it go viral. It allows other people to access that information. And, you know, these outlets, these platforms like Facebook, if they're going to be censoring stuff, that's going to be their own downfall. Believe me, it's going to be short-lived, you know, at least hopefully, because, you know, the whole thing that makes the internet so awesome is the freedom of it. And when these guys are over here trying to control it, well, it's going to backfire eventually. So, I mean, hopefully Facebook, I don't know, today I saw that they loosened up the algorithm and they were letting, like, they let like 4 of our stories go viral today, which is like, haven't seen that happen in like 2 months. And you know, maybe they're going to have to loosen it back up because people are going to be backlashing. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'll tell you what, Zuckerberg is a very, very smart person, a very, very savvy businessman. It's not going to be easy to come up with an alternative to beat Facebook. I'll tell you that much. Someone that's going to have to, whoever does it's going to have to be a literal genius, to beat Facebook. I don't see it happening in the near future, but hopefully it happens soon, because regardless, even if Facebook does change its policies and it stops censoring stuff, you still need competition there so that it keeps them honest and it keeps them, like, you know, playing by the rules. Because right now we're letting Facebook establish the rules of the internet right now because they're so dominant. Facebook and Google, I mean, are the two most dominant internet companies. And then for products, it's Amazon. You know, between those three companies, that's like all the internet traffic right there. You know, and so that's a problem. We have to decentralize it. The internet is supposed to be decentralized. It's supposed to be democratic. And we can't allow these companies to gain this big of an upper hand on us. We have a caller on the line. Let me just, the caller dropped, but if anybody else calls, we got a couple rules. If you call in, the number is 718-717-8296. If you give us a call, make sure you mute your mic, mute your radio. And then we'll come to you by your area code, and then we'll ask you a question, or we'll, you know, let you talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, up to you. Back to Claire and Jake, and Jake, I know you've actually written about this stuff pretty extensively as well. You know, what do you make of these revelations, and also the previous articles from Gizmodo? actually talked about how they treated these people, because they got people in charge of curating that trending section. Apparently, they were also treating these guys like shit, and then they were also just using them as like a platform to train an algorithm as well. Like, they were just having these guys, and like they were just using them as like a they were turning them into like the stuff they did. They were turning it into like an algorithm, and they're going to replace them by the machines later on. What do you make of all this?
It doesn't surprise me, and you know, it doesn't surprise me that the trending section is curated. You know, it's very clear at this point that there's a lot of social engineering going on. I think Claire's written about that extensively with Facebook, and you know, there was actually a lot of speculation that the new reactions feature was a form of just basically kind of an expedited form of data mining, you know, which is somehow there's value in knowing whether, you know, if someone says they're angry at something or what, you know, what all that stuff. That it's I think actually they did it to increase page time on the page, because you have to sit there, and now people sit there and think about it a little bit longer, like what they want their reaction to be. But as you know, as far as the gatekeeping thing, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, Facebook is essentially the NBC of the internet in terms of, you know, like imagine the power of like NBC, like maybe in the early 90s or something like that. I mean, they are, but actually more powerful than that, because there's no ABC or CBS. I mean, it's just Facebook. It's Facebook and Google. They control all of the internet. I mean, quite literally, if you don't have something, if you don't have a channel, you know, if you don't have good organic traffic to your site from Google or a strong Facebook reach, no one's going to see your site, period. So yeah, it's deeply troubling for this to be confirmed. And, you know, we got to keep digging and hold them accountable to this. Because yeah, like you said, Zuckerberg's a smart guy. And this is a this is now a publicly traded company. And so they have stock that can be affected by stuff like this. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, but it certainly doesn't surprise me at all. I was looking at, I was actually thinking about writing this, but yesterday I saw a story about how Twitter, just banned, intelligence agencies from viewing their proprietary data mining, tool, which was I thought it was an interesting move. I think I'm going to try and write something on this actually, Nick, but, this is off topic, but it's interesting that the power of social networks right now is we're seeing them really kind of take over the landscape.
Hello. Here. Hello, hello.
Yeah, it is very interesting. We have a caller on the line now from 916. I'm going to go to you in a minute or two. Just give me a second. I want to go back to Claire because, as Jake brought up, you did do that article on the Facebook reactions and how, you know, the dislike button that never was and all that stuff. And you've been seeing it firsthand, the Facebook censorship. I personally have been banned multiple times. We're going to bring that up the next story is going to talk about that as well. I just got my original Facebook account, which has all my followers and all my friends. I just got 3 days banned again, because people are waging false copyright takedowns against some pages that I'm working with. You know, the censorship is huge, and in many ways, it's not just Facebook either. And this is what gets it even scarier. And Claire, I want to tie in another article that you wrote about the Sesame Credit thing, because that's actually going on here in the United States too, where it's a bunch of people that literally in 2016 get offended by everything. And so, like, the last several times I was banned over content that I posted was people that were literally just butthurt. Like, they were butthurt because we were talking badly about Trump. They were butthurt because we were talking badly about Hillary Clinton. The last two articles we posted that went really viral against Hillary Clinton, the next day our website got attacked in a brute force attack. I mean, it's, you know, the censorship is going really strong. Claire, what do you make of all this?
Well, this is kind of the classic tale of an empire that feels like it needs to hold on to control while it still can. and censorship, like freedom of the press, freedom of speech, all of these different freedoms that are considered fundamental, those are the first things to go. And I think we're seeing that in action right now. I mean, you're seeing it with the censorship through algorithms and through everything else, but then when you get people on board with being offended and stuff like that, when you get people to do the censorship for the government, that's when you really begin to have a problem, and that's what's going on. I mean, it used to be, like, people who reported posts and stuff like that used to be kind of socially made fun of and such, you know, in media. Now they are considered, like, I don't know, it's almost like they're heroic in some ways. I've seen people, like, proudly proclaiming they'll ban somebody's page just because they don't like what they're posting. Like, if you keep on posting this thing, I'm going to ban your page. It's like, wow, why are you proud of that? You know, that's what the government does. The government censors stuff that they don't want you to see. Why would you do their job for them? And it's becoming a really, really big problem. I mean, you have, and like Jake brought up the buttons, like the reaction buttons. Those, they're kind of innocent right now, but Facebook, of course, is collecting data on them and how people use them. And I, from every indication that I could tell when I was researching the article, they plan to use the negative, what they consider the negative buttons, to suppress information. If enough people pick angry over something, then they're going to kind of bury that down in the algorithms and bury it in people's news feeds. Whereas if people pick that they love it, then they're going to promote it more. So, I mean, this is like a really huge problem. And a lot of it is driven by social media, unfortunately, because it's such a convenient place, kind of a hub for information.
It's like a new way to collectively stick our heads in the sand, you know? It's,
yeah.
Oh, there's this information where the United States bombed a hospital in Afghanistan of a nonprofit and killed 35 civilians. Oh, that offends me. That's horrible. They put on there that they're angry about it or that they're sad about it. And then Facebook's like, well, people don't want to see this stuff. Let's just not show it anymore. You know, and you know, we're literally doing the propaganda. The people in the United States are doing the job for the authorities. They're hiding the horrible shit that the people are doing. We got warned by Google because we posted the Abu Ghraib photos, which is where, you know, in Iraq, where they were torturing the hell out of people and doing really inhumane things to Iraqi people, many of whom were just simply suspected terrorists that actually were not. And you know, Google almost removed our ability to use their ads on our website because they said that those photos were offensive. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, literally, you can't even, like, you know, technically speaking, according to Google, to Google standards, you can't even post police brutality videos on website. Like, if it shows any kind of violence or anything like that, well, then Facebook doesn't want, or Google doesn't want allow you to make any money off of it. You know, and that's their way of, you know, backdoor censorship. And it's not even being mandated by the government. It's the companies doing it. And then you got a bunch of people that are all butthurt, like this next story that I'm going to talk about, where this woman drew a painting of Trump with a micro penis. And then, you know, everybody got butthurt, and she got her Facebook got banned, and then she got copyright infringement lobbed against her. She got beat up in the streets by Trump supporters. I mean, this is, it's going crazy in this country. People have forgotten what freedom of speech is, you know, and people are, they're all about it when it's like stuff they agree with, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, political correctness, that's bullshit. You draw a picture of Trump with a small dick and everyone's like, oh my God, that's unacceptable. It's like, wait, I thought you guys would like freedom of speech. I thought you didn't like political correctness. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but.
I really want to say something here because freedom of speech and freedom of the press are, like, I think probably my two biggest issues because they are the most vital to any kind of functioning society. And the right to offend is ultimately and imperatively more important than the right not to be offended, because all you have to do, and we're talking about online, we're not talking, it's not as if this stuff is in people's living rooms, like physically. People can turn the page, close their browser, move away, not visit the page anymore. They can block people. They don't have to ban people. They don't have to impart this censorship and make the problem worse. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's unacceptable, and people don't realize that they are causing the exact problems in the society they say that they want. They're making it worse. They just don't get it.
Exactly, and you know, this goes back to, like, a couple years ago, the Charlie Hebdo shooting, right? Where these Islamic extremists went over to this controversial cartoonist or you know, magazine or whatever it's newspaper. I don't know exactly what it is, but they went over there because you know these Islamic extremists were offended because they drew a picture of Muhammad and made a offensive cartoon about it. And they shot the place up, killed the editor, killed a couple people, and then all of a sudden in France is like up in arms because they're like we want to defend freedom of speech, right? They're like we got to stand up for these cartoonists that are offending Islam and stuff, and you know whatever. Whatever about that. People want to make like offensive stuff. Fine. I'm not ever going to say, hey, we should ban cartooning of certain things because it's too offensive. I'm never going to do that. But what I want to draw here is like a little bit of a contrast because there's a total hypocrisy going on. Later on, you got the Paris attacks, and then in the direct wake of that, they go around, they start censoring all kinds of websites. Even the anti-media was censored in Paris at a certain time because, Claire, you wrote an article saying, like, look, why the hell is everybody worried about Paris when this many people died, when our bombs are killing people all around the world way more than this every day? And then, you know, France goes and bans our website from being shown to people in Paris. You know, and so there's this huge hypocrisy going on. It's like, oh, we believe in freedom of speech and this, that, and the other. But then on the other hand, it's like, oh, we got to ban websites. We're going to censor information. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Total hypocrisy. I want to take our caller here before we move on to this next story. Caller from 916 area code. How's it going?
How are you doing? I'm Randy. So I had a few things I wanted to talk about.
Go ahead.
But now that we're talking about Hillary and stuff, I got to talk about her paid attack trolls from her super PAC. The post that you announced this broadcast on, there's just all these paid attack trolls from Hillary on there. And it was announced and stuff. There was a super PAC of hers dedicated to paying these trolls to defend her on anti-Hillary posts.
Yeah, man, I saw that. I saw that, and I think you're right, because I'll tell you what, we've already got all of the Hillary Clinton supporters out of our newsfeed. Like, we don't have any more Clinton supporters on our page. I guarantee you that. And, like, they come out of nowhere, and they're, like, commenting instantly, like, oh, how could you say this? This is a major stretch. The meme in question here is that it's, like, Dick Cheney, and then it's a picture of Dick Cheney, and then down below that it's a picture of Hillary Clinton, and it's, like, now available in female. You know, and it's kind of a commentary on her just horrendous foreign policy. I mean, she wants to instill a no-fly zone in Syria, which is basically every single time the United States has put a no-fly zone over a country, it's led to a regime change. So basically, Hillary Clinton is saying she wants to overthrow the Syrian government. She already helped, she convinced Obama to overthrow the Libyan government. She backed a military coup in Honduras. I mean, you name the foreign intervention, and she's basically, you know, ready to send our troops down and put them in harm's way. I mean, she's talked about Iran like they're the devil. If she was elected, I mean, she would probably start a war with Iran. I mean, you name it. Anyway, caller, go ahead.
When it all comes down to it, though, like, she is bought out by all the sub-central banks, not like Obama and stuff, who was purely Goldman Sachs, who he's going to have a job with next year. He even joked about it. I think you guys posted about that. But all J.P. Morgan, all these banks are who finance her, and all these banks are who have all these stocks invested in these military-industrial suppliers, and it's pretty scary when you start looking into the details of it because, like, okay, for example, Obama, so he had his kill list and whatnot, and so he has his job at Goldman Sachs, but Goldman Sachs, huge investor in Lockheed Martin, one of the biggest military-industrial suppliers. And just this last year, Goldman Sachs pulled out of Lockheed Martin. And so I can't see that as just being coincidental. There has to be actual corruption in there somewhere, but we're not going to know about it because none of it is public information. You know, who writes... which lobbyists write the legislation of these policies and who their clientele are. It's not public information. And so that's what I wanted to bring up on the next subject was this anti-corruption act that's going around being suppressed by corporate media. Like it's a pretty big thing. And every time I see somebody post something about it, like their post just disappears from my timeline. Like I can't imagine that's just coincidence.
Yeah.
So I've been doing what I can to try and spread the information around about the Anti-Corruption Act, but it seems like every time I post anything about it, nobody recognizes it. It's like I'm having to play this game of making a post with a catchy picture, get all these people, like, seeing my post as legitimate, you know, not some self-promotion shit. And then once I put the link on there with all the information, then people start seeing it and responding to it and all this stuff. But if I just post the link directly, no one, not nothing.
Yeah, man, I see the same thing with, like, when we post stuff about the TPP as well. There's a lot of stuff, and, you know, these big tech corporations, including Facebook, they benefit greatly from things like the TPP. And now, you know, Facebook, as I think it was Jake that brought it up earlier, you know, Facebook is a publicly held company now, so they've got shareholders that have major conflict of interest. And I think actually, wasn't it Goldman Sachs that did the IPO for Facebook? It was one of these huge banks that actually did their initial stock offering.
I think that might have been JP Morgan, but yeah.
It might have been JP Morgan. There you go. But, you know, these huge companies, man, it's like a web of corruption. And then, you know, the military industrial contractor companies, these big, huge companies, they've also got ties to the mainstream media companies. One of our writers brought up a long time ago about how, have you ever seen those, like, Boeing commercials on like, during, like, NFL games and stuff? Sometimes they'll be like a Boeing commercial and they're not even trying to sell anything. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, who is going to buy? Are we the people going to be buying Boeing shit? Like,
and so, like, the part of the reason for that is, like, they put so much money into the advertising of these mainstream media companies, that gives the mainstream media company a reason not to give them any critical coverage. You know, so it's like, well, Boeing spends $10 million with us a year. We can't do an article about how Boeing is, like, lobbying to get us into war with Syria or anything like that. So we're just going to not say that kind of stuff. You know, and so, you know, very, very corrupt society that we're dealing with here in the United States. And, you know, a lot of people just, I don't know if they don't give a shit or if they're just apathetic or if they're too distracted by other things.
What's going through my head. Like, I've been wondering, I've been trying to spread the word of the Anti-Corruption Act, how corrupt our system is and exactly how it is corrupted. And it's like, I either am being censored or people are just think that their fucking armchair quarterback is going to make a difference, you know? Like, I don't know which one it is, but I'm thinking it's censorship.
It's probably a little bit of both. I think it's in a major way censorship, and the censorship creates apathetic people. I hadn't really heard about the Anti-Corruption Act. I'm trying to find some info on it right now. What can you tell us about this thing?
One second. Let me get to my computer. I can tell you a lot more. Basically, there are three main aspects of it, but one of the goals inside of it that I can think of off the top of my head is making it a matter of public record who these lobbyists are. And hold on one second. I'm on my computer now.
Okay, I see like three main points here. I've got anticorruptionact.org pulled up. Stop political bribery by overhauling lobbying and ethics laws. End secret money by dramatically increasing transparency. Give every voter a choice by creating citizen-funded elections. I mean, yeah, that's some basic common sense stuff that we can do because, you know, right now money in politics is a huge issue. You know, notoriously Trump has been saying, he's been running around saying, oh, I'm self-funding, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. As I just covered on the anti-media, I wrote an article on, was it Friday or Saturday? Trump is now going to be fundraising with the Republican Party. He's not going to be self-funding anymore. He just hired a guy to manage his campaign finances who was an executive of Goldman Sachs that also worked for Soros. I mean, this is like crazy. This same guy, his name was, what's his name? Mnuchin is his name? I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. Steven Mnuchin. Guy worked for Goldman Sachs. He worked for Soros. He bought a bank that operates here in the Southwest that received a bunch of bailout money, and taxpayers took a $13 billion loss on the deal. Investors made about $2 billion out of it, and then they sold it. So this is the guy that Trump just hired.
Yeah, and I mean, on the note of Trump, too, I've never bought into the self-funded thing because, you know, like Hillary, she may be the biggest puppet of all corporate sponsors, but people are forgetting that Trump used to be one of those corporate sponsors. His corporation has been a client of several lobbying firms. Like, the guy knows the ins and outs of politics, and, like, all politicians are just salesmen for their corporate sponsors, you know, and Trump, the reason why he's doing so good is because his career is selling stuff, you know, and so, I mean, it's just, it makes perfect sense that the guy comes into the political game and just dominates.
Yeah, and, you know, like, look, in my article, I linked to it, but, let's see, it's an article by one of our amazing, amazing writers, Dan Sanchez, called Trump Will Make His Peace with the War Party. If you want to, like, just Google that or whatever, you basically see that Ronald Reagan came in as a very similar, in a very similar way, where he was kind of like treated as an outsider and stuff. But right as he was becoming elected, right during the Republican National Convention, everything pretty much changed. And he got co-opted by the Republican establishment. The same exact thing is now happening with Donald Trump. And I have a quote here from Dan Sanchez. Trump's circle now includes such mainstream warmongers as Rudy Giuliani, Chris Christie, Richard Haass, current president of the Council on Foreign Relations, and Senator Jeff Sessions. Trump has even identified John Bolton, an Iraq war architect and close ally of the neocons, as a go-to expert for advice on national security. This is a guy that wants to wipe Iran off the face of the earth. So yeah, Trump is.
You know, I knew of a couple of those. That's pretty scary, though. I didn't know all those.
He's a former
warmonger.
He's a former ambassador to the UN. I mean, the guy was really high up there in the Bush administration. And Trump is like, he's one of Trump's advisors now. This guy is like a total warmonger. Anyway, anything else you want to add to this Anti-Corruption Act? I kind of like it. I think this is something that does need to get out there.
Yeah, see, that's my whole point, and it scares me how, like, nobody is trying to promote this. This is the one thing that could stop this corporate monarchy. You know, we are, like, the whole problem is, like, you know, this entire discussion about how American capitalism, good versus bad, blah, blah, blah. The whole problem is that we're not capitalist. By definition, the state has intervened. Therefore, we are no longer capitalist. We're purely an oligarchy, by definition, oligarchy of fascist corporatism.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the worst of both capitalism and socialism. We've got where we socialize the empire and the taxpayer funds all the crap that we do overseas, and then the companies go in there that have close ties to the government and they privatize all the profits, and like Halliburton in Iraq, and, you know, perfect example. You know, the taxpayer pays for the invasion of Iraq and the destruction of Iraq. And then all the money that's, you know, put into rebuilding Iraq, that gets privatized by government contracting companies that have ties to none other than Dick Cheney. You know what I mean? And this is the
kind
of
America all
that Clinton very much personifies, and that Donald Trump is kind of supposedly running against, but that he's going to be very much a part of, judging by all the people that he's surrounding himself with right now. So, you know, that's something that we got to keep in mind.
Exactly. You know, and what my biggest scarcity of this year is, you know, like, everybody, like, just last year, you know, I heard people, like, in the Federal Reserve, you know, and, like, we need to end the corruption in D.C. And it's like, now that an election year comes up, everybody just forgets about this, and they just get so honed in on these two parties who have caused all these problems, and they just magically think that they're going to be able to fix the world someday. You know, and it's like, if you look into all these damn candidates, I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders, he has the greatest principles, I think, of any candidate we've seen in a while. But what scares me is that tuition costs, I can give you the link for it, tuition costs have risen 3 times faster than our dollar has inflated. And I see him as not mentioning this at all, and I have to wonder why, you know. And when you get back to it, the same banks and stuff, the lobbyists, who have set up his fundraisers and all that, they very well could be the beneficiaries of for-profit colleges, you know, and we don't know this. And that,
great.
Yeah, and it's like, when you get back into the donor tree, you know, all these corporations and stuff, they use the bank's lobbyists to sell their legislation to these politicians to sell to all of us. Like, if you go through the tree, like, every one of these corporations share the same sub-central bank financing companies. Like, I can't understand how this country still thinks that one person can fix the world. Well, so I guess that's my final note on it, if you need to get off.
You bring some points up, man. I encourage everyone to go check out that anti-corruption, the Anti-Corruption Act. I looked at it right now, and it looks pretty legit. You guys can go check it out and see if you like it. We've got an interesting law that may be coming up on the ballot here in California. We're located here down in San Diego, California, but our journalists and our writers are all over the country, all over the world and stuff. But we've got this really interesting thing coming up in California in November regarding where they're going to make all the lawmakers in our state wear they're going to have to like get patches on their coats of all their corporate sponsors and actually have to wear it around when they're in session. And we may vote for that in November.
Totally agree.
Pretty interesting. And I you guys have seen the memes where it's like, you know, I wish politicians were like NASCAR drivers where they actually wore the sponsors on their sleeves. And that may actually become reality here in California, which would be pretty hilarious. Caller from 916, we're going to move on now because I got a bunch of callers. You can stay on the line, though, if you want, and then you can come back into this conversation. I think we just got Claire back. But first I'm going to go to the caller from 510 area code. How's it going? You're on the anti-media. You're live on the air. What do you want to
Hey, I don't
hey.
Hold on. The caller from 239, give me a second. Just we'll come to you after we talk to the caller from 510. Go ahead, from problem.
No problem.
Hey, you talking about me, right? 689?
Yep, that's you.
Hey, how's it going? I'm over here off the East Bay. I just want to say, you know, I'm glad you guys caught me into this this conversation. I want to bring up something that I've been kind of wondering myself. Is how does Hillary Clinton, right, and Donald Trump get more airtime than all these other candidates on the news? And everyone is just oblivious about all these other candidates because they just get all the airtime. Is it their sponsors, or is it them paying off somebody in the news? I don't know. That's my question, I guess.
That's a good question. Now, Trump in particular, as much as he says he hates the media and stuff,
he's all over it, though.
I don't think that he's being manufactured by the media. I know Hillary Clinton is, but Trump has mastered the art of PR stunts, and like his campaign so far has been literally a series of PR stunts, and it's worked. And that's how primaries work, especially on the Republican end of things. It's like whoever can say the most extreme shit wins, and then you got to remodel your campaign once the primary's over, and then you got to remodel it to like, you know, pander to like the regular population, because like the highly motivated Republican voter, those are the people that come out in the primary elections. These are people that are extremely paranoid, like right-wing, like birthers, and like build the wall and deport everybody and that kind of shit. So, you know, Trump, I think Trump is a lot smarter than he seems, and he's kind of just like pandering to what the people are already thinking. You know, there's a bunch of people out there that they think the biggest problem with Obama is that they haven't seen his birth certificate, never mind the war crimes, never mind the 8 new wars that he started. Never mind the unconstitutional spying, the extrajudicial killing.
All the contradictions, I mean, that he's pretty much,
that,
you know,
Obama has actually done, and people choose to focus in on it. Well, let's see his birth certificate. And so Trump has tapped into that crowd. And so by doing a series of like just saying extreme stuff, he's literally gotten over $1 billion in free media advertising by saying stuff like that. And it worked. And that's how he won. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, Hillary Clinton is completely manufactured by the media. Like, I literally... The only people I know in real life, and maybe I don't know enough people that are older, and maybe all my friends are younger people, and that's part of it. But like my grandma is I talked to her on Easter, and she's like, "Oh well, yeah, I'm gonna vote for Hillary Clinton," and I asked her why, and she said, "Well, you know, there's no one else. She's the Democratic, you know, candidate and stuff." And I asked her, I'm like, "Well, did you hear about Bernie Sanders?" And she's like, "Well, who is that? I don't really know who that is." You know, and my grandma's one of those people that, you know, watches like CNN and MSNBC and stuff. And so, you know, Hillary Clinton is definitely completely manufactured candidate. I mean, she's already got all the name recognition in the world and stuff like that, you know, on her back. But, you know, you got to give credit to Bernie Sanders for fighting this crazy, crazy uphill battle from, you know, she was at like 70-something percent and he was at like 5%. Nobody knew who he was. And he fought all the way up to where he's at now. And, you know, you got to credit that for what it is. I don't agree with Bernie Sanders on a lot of things, but I think he did a hell of a job taking on Hillary Clinton. But he had all the factors working against him, including the media. I mean, the media, if you, every article you read is like, oh, especially when he had that winning streak where he had won like 8 out of 9 contests or something. And every single article in the mainstream is like, oh, Bernie won, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't matter because, you know, Hillary's already got it locked up. I mean, she's been the inevitable candidate for a long time. And I think, you know, dating back to what we've been saying on this show since before the election started, you know, because these election things, they go in cycles. And now that Obama's had his 8 years, just like Bush had his 8 years, you know, the plan was to put a Republican in place of Obama so that the Republican come into office and he could say, oh, well, all the shit that's going on, all the problems that we have, it's Obama's fault. And the Democrats, it's their problem, just like Bush was at fault for everything when Obama came into office. It's so easy to just shift the blame because a new party comes into office. And I think that was the initial plan. And that's why the media was trying so hard to manufacture Marco Rubio to be the Republican nominee. But it didn't work out because Trump was an unexpected kind of, you know, a wild card that just entered the race and nobody expected it to happen. But he did it. And he, like I said, he's smart than he looks. He may be pandering to the dumbest population out there right now, but he's much smarter than that. And I think he knows that, and he knows how to manipulate people. And that's why he won the Republican nomination. But now, you know, he's shifting over to general election mode. And I think all the forces in the world are going to be trying to elect Hillary Clinton because, again, as much as Trump is establishment, as much as he's probably just as bad as everyone else, he's still kind of uncontrollable because he has his own money and stuff. Yeah. So they want someone like Hillary Clinton who could easily be controlled because there's so much bad information on Clinton that is under wraps right now. Like this whole FBI investigation and stuff, that's just held over her head to keep her in check. And if she gets elected, that's always going to be over her head. So anytime she doesn't, if she ever goes out of line and does something that the powers that be don't want her to do, well, then they pull out the indictment and they say, okay, well, then you're done. You know, so that they always got leverage. On Trump, I mean, there's not as much leverage. So they're going to go for the candidate. The powers that be, and these are the same people that own the media, they own social media, they own Facebook, they own the banks, you know, they own the foreign policy, they do all that stuff. They're going to be going for Hillary Clinton because they can control her really easily. You know, and I don't like Trump either, but I mean, you know, that's why Clinton is being manufactured by the media. She's just the easiest to control. Bernie Sanders, he's got nothing to lose. The guy doesn't have very much money. He doesn't have kids. He and his wife are already old. I mean, he's the kind of guy that I think if he got in and he would get JFK'd. He's that kind of guy. So they're going to do everything they can to keep him out. Trump isn't as controllable because he's got his own money. And Clinton is just, she's so easy to control, and she's already doing, you know, she's already part of that agenda anyway. They don't even have to control her because she's already working on that, on their side.
Nick, mark my words, Trump could go the way of Dealey Plaza too, man. They may just see him as too big of a liability.
Because he makes us all look like a big target out here in the United States. If he gets voted for president, we're all going to look like a bunch of idiots, okay? We're going to look like a bunch of people who would be like, oh, we've seen him on this one show on TV, so why not vote for him, right? And it's just going to make us all look like haters, really. Like, we're a bunch of racists that just doesn't really care who's president, which, honestly, I'm not like that, so...
Yeah, and
I know a lot of you guys aren't either.
Looking at the trends,
for the best.
Did you guys first of all, the funniest thing? Did you guys see that thing about on Maury where there was that girl that looked like Ted Cruz? Maury was interviewing her because she went viral because it was everyone was like, "Oh, Ted Cruz is dressed in drag on Maury," but it, you know, it was a big joke or whatever. And that's kind of what U.S. politics has descended into, a big joke. So I guess everyone has fun with it. But she, Maury was interviewing her and he was talking to her about the candidate. He's like, did you ever hear of Ted Cruz? I never heard of Ted Cruz. Like, the only one I've ever heard of was Donald Trump, you know, and that's part of it. You know, people know about Trump because he was on reality TV, and that's part of his name recognition. And that's also what gives Clinton a lot of her default voters and stuff like that. But the other thing, on a more serious note, the Philippines just had an election today, and overwhelmingly, a guy won. That is, they're calling him the Filipino Trump. And, you know, the thing that I see going on right now, and it's a pretty dangerous trend, is not only in the United States, but all over Europe and now in Asia, in Japan, in the Philippines, there's a very fascist tendency starting to grow around the world. And this is something that we need to be very wary of. Keep in mind, back in World War II, fascism, it didn't start in Nazi Germany. I think the first country in Europe to fall to fascism was actually Spain, even though they remained neutral in World War II. You know, Spain went fascist first, and then I think it was Nazi Germany, and then Italy. I mean, so fascism, it ebbs and flows, and right now we're in a situation where fascism is rising all around the world, man. And
yeah.
Trump, for all of the stuff that he's done, and I, you know, we've on this show we've said before, when Trump called out the Iraq war for being based on lies, when he said Bush lied about Iraq, we were applauding him when he said that. But, you know, let's not confuse anything. The Republican primary has had a very, very fascist strain to it the whole time. I mean, Ted Cruz said that he was going to, you know, patrol Muslim neighborhoods. You know, Trump wants to ban certain groups of people from entering the country. Fascism is rising around the world, and especially here in the United States. Claire, go ahead.
There's like a kind of a broader issue too, because it's not just the GOP, it's also the Democrats in terms of Hillary at least. There's a big strain of authoritarianism where everybody wants to follow the rule of law and kind of outdo each other as like good citizens, quote unquote. I mean, it's really authoritarianism is kind of an indicator of the rise of totalitarianism and fascism, and I'm actually writing about that now because it really is a dangerous time. And it also plays into that whole censorship thing that we were talking about, when you already have basically citizen spies like telling on each other for things that are going wrong or things that somebody else is supposedly doing wrong. These are bad indicators that the state is going to very easily be able to usurp control, whether we like it or not. And this is when we need to be wary.
Yeah. And
in other words, it's called a snitch.
Yeah. A bunch of snitches mm-hmm. going around. And there's that woman that we covered today on the anti-media. And first of all, I mean, some of the comments are just like, people blaming the victim are like, oh, she's fucking lying, and, you know, it's a false flag against Trump. I mean, people will say whatever. Some of these comments are just ridiculous.
Yeah, they get out of hand.
And then this one guy, he's like, it's unfortunate, and I'm reading a comment right from the website here. It's unfortunate that this is happening to her. However, she made the choice to paint the picture and post it. And what he's talking about is that she deserved to get beat up by a car full of Trump supporters because she painted a picture of Donald Trump with a small dick. I mean, this is insane. This is insanity. The United States is supposed to be based on, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, mm-hmm. freedom, you know, the right to offend people. This woman painted Amen. A picture of Trump with a small dick, and yeah, it was funny. But, you know, now she got beat up by it. She got banned from Facebook. She got censored. They waged copyright infringements against her. I mean, they're pulling out all the dirty tricks that have been used against us at the anti-media constantly. But it's kind of expected for us because we're so anti-establishment. But all this woman did was, like, draw a painting of Trump with a small dick. And now she's getting the wrath of, like, this authoritarianism that's rising, where it's like, hey, if you offend me, I have the right to beat you up and, like, throw you out of the country. It's like, wait, no, that's not what this country was set up upon. In fact, the people that came over here to the United States to begin with, the original settlers, were trying to get away from, like, authoritarian religious-based government. You know, they were trying to get away from that stuff.
That's why we had the I'm sorry to interject, but that's why we had the American Revolution, why the Constitution was ratified, why we had the Declaration of Independence. It was all based around a limited government structure because our forefathers fought against the tyranny of Britain. They understood that once a central government starts imposing its regulation on the people, that it'll begin a cycle of an inevitable cycle of tyranny that'll just destroy the country. You know, and a lot of people are forgetting the Constitution was not written as a guideline for the people. It was written as a guideline for the government. You know, mm-hmm. and nobody seems to remember this. That is all. Sorry.
Well, yeah, you make a good point. The Constitution is like, what, a couple pages long?
A lot of pages.
And the rules that we got to abide by now are like thousands and thousands of pages long. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, the government has to follow like this little basic set of rules here. And then everybody, like for us, it's like, oh, you can't park in this side of the street on this day. And this, it's just like, you got to pay your parking meter. You got to pay, you know, if you're going to have a car, you got to pay to register it and you got to have a license. I mean, it's just like an endless amount of petty taxes and regulations upon the every average everyday taxpayer. And then the government has like this very, very basic and like up for interpretation, apparently, set of rules called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that are supposed to like govern them and control them. And it just, it's not working out too well in that aspect.
Well, they try to get away with like breaking laws because, you know, they don't tell us what they're up to.
And what a Fed is like, you know, like something like it, once the federal government stops governing government itself and begins regulating the people will be the beginning of tyranny. Like that's something I imagine Thomas Jefferson would have said if, you know, he would have saw the rise of how bad the federal government has been intruding on the people, you know?
We got to make a time machine, go back and grab some of them founding fathers and bring them back to modern day and see what they think. I mean, it would be
Thomas Jefferson were to see us right now, he would be ashamed. Absolutely a shame.
Yeah, we need to talk about more about Hillary Clinton and how the top 10 donors for her campaign are all Jewish, and how John Kerry's last name is really Cohen. See what's really going on here. I started listening to David Duke and understand the Zionist occupied government, my brother. They're taking over.
Hey man, sorry, we
politics and the banks,
but we don't talk about David Duke on this program much, but thanks for calling in anyway. And sometimes we get the most random calls, man. David Duke, that's like the grand dragon of the KKK or some shit, I think. Oh man, I had to drop that one. You know, every now and then we get some.
Yeah, he actually ran for president once.
Yeah, didn't he used to be buddies with? In fact, isn't he the guy that endorsed Hillary Clinton? That's right.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But
actually, I think it was Donald Trump that he endorsed.
Okay, one of those guys. Whatever. KKK getting involved in politics again. I thought they already had their run a long time ago. Anyway,
Trump and Hillary actually have each of their own KKK endorsements, so there is that.
Yeah, Hillary has been endorsed by some sector of the KKK actually, and so has Trump. And so. Hillary was
not to interrupt here, but wasn't Donald Trump actually called out for being in the KKK by Anonymous?
I'm not sure. I mean,
because they released a whole list of KKK members, and he was amongst them.
It really wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. But yeah, I mean, let's see if I can get another one of these stories in because we still got a few more minutes. Thank you guys for your calls. Really good calls tonight, except for that dude that wanted to talk about David Duke. I mean, that's just crazy. Stoners have a new reason to celebrate cannabis legalization. We got some good news on the chopping block for tonight, which is kind of rare. But according to academics and researchers, they found that legalizing cannabis has drastically caused the price to go down. And if the trends hold, the price of high-quality cannabis in the United States will be going downward in states that have legalized 25% each year. And I've definitely noticed that here in the United States, here in California and in San Diego particularly. We are a pretty big weed town. I mean, you can get grams of decent cron for like $5 now.
That's really good because out here I can't really get a gram, like not even for 10. Out here, you want the best stuff, you got to pay $15 or $20 for a gram. And if you want to get like an eighth, you're going to be paying $50, maybe $30 between that price range. And then it just goes up from there to $100, $250. And I think that's a really good way to make money off of taxes. But the government's kind of lagging on it for us. Out here in California, I had to go to my doctor in order to get all this done. So if you really want to get your club card, you got to talk to
me. Are you in a state that is recreationally legal or medical?
No, this is medical purposes only.
Okay, yeah. So we're getting it up on the ballot here in California for like recreational this year, and you know it'll probably pass because the people around here are pretty much all for it.
Yeah, but not many people vote in my area.
That's the saddest thing about it. I noticed here in the East Bay, so many people are like, they keep talking about these elections, but they always forget that they can vote for laws. I always tell them, like, hey, you're voting this year, right? You should go vote and legalize this, this weed, because if you don't,
hey,
we're going to keep getting in trouble with
the politicians, man. The politicians change their mind. The laws are on the books. Thank you all for tuning in. That's the end of the show. Make sure you catch us Monday through Friday. We'll be live back here Wednesday night. Same show, same host. Monday through Friday here
for
on sure. Squad.tv, the Anti-Media.
Thank you. Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.